Thoughts black, hands apt, drugs fit and time agreeing. Confederate season, else no creature seeing. Thou mixture rank of midnight weeds collected, with Hecate's ban thrice blasted, thrice infected. Thy natural magic and dire property, unwholesome life, usurps immediately.
He poisons another garden for his estate. His name's Gonzago, the story's extant, and written in very choice Italian. You shall see anon how the murderer gets the love of Gonzago's wife.
The king rises.
What? Frighted with false fire?
How fares, my lord?
Give all the play.
Give me some light!
Light! Let the stricken deer go weep, the heart and gallant play, for some must watch while some must sleep. Thus runs the world away. Would not this serve a forest of feathers if the rest of my fortunes turn Turk with me, with provincial roses on my raised shoes? Get me a fellowship and a cry of players.
Half a share.
A whole one, aye. For thou dost know, O Damon dear, this realm dismantled was by Jove himself, and now reigns here a very, very pay-jock.
You might have rhymed.
Oh, good, Horatio, I'll take the ghost's word for £1,000. Didst perceive?
Very well, my lord.
Upon the talk of poisoning.
I did very well note him.
Aha. Oh, come, some music. Come, the recorders. For if the king like not the comedy, why then belike he likes it not, Purdy. Come, some music.
Good, my lord, vouchsafe me a word with you.
Sir, a whole history.
The king, sir.
Aye, sir. What of him?
Is in his retirement marvellous distempered.
With drink, sir.
And no, my lord, with choler.
Your wisdom should show itself more richer to signify this to the doctor, for me to put him to his purgation would perhaps plunge him into more choler.
Good, my lord, put your discourse into some frame and start not so wildly from my affair.
I am tame, sir. Pronounce.
The queen, your mother, in most great affliction of spirit, hath sent me to you.
You're welcome.
Nay, good, my lord, this courtesy is not of the right breed. If it shall please you to make a wholesome answer, I will do your mother's commandment. If not, your pardon, and my return shall be the end of my business.
Sir, I cannot.
What, my lord?
Make you a wholesome answer. My wits diseased. But, sir, such answer as I can make you shall command, or rather, as you say, my mother. Therefore, no more but to the matter. My mother, you say?
Then thus, she says, your behaviour hath struck her into amazement and admiration.
Oh, wonderful son that can so astonish a mother! But is there no sequel at the heels of this mother's admiration impart?
She desires to speak with you in her closet ere you go to bed.
We shall obey. Were she 10 times our mother? Have you any further trade with us?
My lord, you once did love me.
And do still by these pickers and stealers.
Good my lord, what is your cause of distemper? You do surely bar the door upon your own liberty if you deny your griefs to your friend.
Sir, I lack advancement.
Oh, how can that be? When you have the voice of the king himself for your succession in Denmark.
Aye, sir, but while the grass grows, the proverb is something musty. Ah, the recorders. Let me see one. To withdraw with you, why do you go about to recover the wind of me as if you would drive me into a toil?
Oh, my lord, if my duty be too bold, my love is too unmannerly.
I do not well understand that. Will you play upon this pipe?
My lord, I cannot.
I pray you.
Believe me, I cannot.
I beseech you.
I know no touch of it, my lord.
It is as easy as lying. Govern these vintages with your finger and thumbs, give it breath with your mouth, and it will discourse most eloquent music. Look you, these are the stops.
But these cannot I command to any utterance of harmony. I have not the skill.
Why? Look you, now how unworthy a thing you make of me. You would play upon me. You would seem to know my stops. You would pluck out the heart of my mystery. You would sound me from the lowest note to the top of my compass. And there is much music, excellent voice in this little organ, yet cannot you make it speak? S'blood, do you think I am easier to be played on than a pipe? Call me what instrument you will, though you can fret me, yet you cannot play upon me.
My lord!
Oh, God bless you, sir!
My lord, the queen would speak with you, and presently...
Do you see yonder cloud that's almost in shape of a camel?
By the mass, and it is like a camel indeed.
Methinks it is like a weasel.
It is backed like a weasel.
Or like a whale.
Very like a whale.
Then I will come to my mother by and by. They fool me to the top of my bent. I will come by and by.
I will say so.
by and by is easily said. Leave me, my friends.
It is now the very witching time of night when churchyards yawn and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Now could I drink hot blood and do such bitter business as the day would quake to look on. Soft. Now to my mother. O heart, lose not thy nature. Let not ever the soul of Nero enter this firm bosom. Let me be cruel, not unnatural. I will speak daggers to her, but use none. My tongue and soul in this be hypocrites. How in my words soever she be shent, to give them seals, never my soul consent.
Oh, my offense is rank. It smells to heaven. It hath the primal eldest curse upon it. A brother's murder. Pray can I not, though inclination be as sharp as will. My stronger guilt defeats my strong intent, and like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin, and both neglect. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Whereto serves mercy but to confront the visage of offense? And what's in prayer but this twofold force? To be forestalled ere we come to fall, or pardoned being down? Then I'll look up. My fault is past. But oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me my foul murder? That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder. My crown, my known ambition, and my queen. May one be pardoned and retain the offense? In the corrupted currents of this world, offense's gilded hand may shove by justice, and oft is seen the wicked prize itself buys out the law. But 'tis not so above. There is no shuffling. There the action lies in his true nature, and we ourselves compelled even to the teeth and forehead of our faults to give in evidence. What then? What rests? Try what repentance can. What can it not? And yet what can it when one cannot repent? Oh, wretched state. Oh, bosom black as death. Oh, limed soul that struggling to be free art more engaged. Help, angels. Make us say. Bow, stubborn knees, and heart with strings of steel, be soft as sinews of a newborn babe. All may be well.
Now might I do it, Pat. Now he is a-praying, and now I'll do it. And so he goes to heaven. And so, am I revenged? That would be scanned. A villain kills my father, and for that I, his sole son, do this same villain send to heaven. Oh, this is hire and salary, not revenge. He took my father grossly, full of bread, with all his crimes broad blown as flush as May, and how his audit stands, who knows, save heaven. But in our circumstance and course of thought, 'tis heavy with him. And am I then revenged to take him in the purging of his soul when he is fit and seasoned for his passage? No.
more horrid hint when he is drunk, asleep, or in his rage, or in the incestuous pleasure of his bed, at gaming, swearing, or about some act that has no relish of salvation in it, then trip him, that his heels may kick at heaven, and that his soul may be as damned and black as hell whereto it goes. My mother stays. This physic but prolongs thy sickly days.
My words fly up. My thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go.
He will come straight. Look, you lay home to him. Tell him his pranks have been too broad to bear with, and that your grace hath screamed and stood between much heat and him. I'll silence me even here. I pray you, be round with him.
I'll warrant you. Fear me not.
Mother!
Withdraw. I hear him coming.
Mother! Now, mother, what's the matter?
Hamlet, thou hast thy father much offended.
Mother, you have my father much offended.
Come, come, you answer with an idle tongue.
Go, go, you question with a wicked tongue.
Why, now, Hamlet.
What's the matter now?
Have you forgot me?
No, by the rood, not so. You are the queen, your husband's brother's wife. And, would it were not so, you are my mother.
Nay, then I'll set those to you that can speak.
Come, come, and sit you down. You shall not budge. You go not till I set you up a glass where you may see the inmost part of you.
What wilt thou do? Thou wilt not murder me? Help!
Help!
Oh. Help! A rat! Dead! For a ducat! Dead!
Oh, I am slain.
Oh, me! What hast thou done?
There, no, not. Is it the king?
Oh, what a rash and bloody deed is this!
A bloody deed! Almost as bad, good mother, as kill a king and marry with his brother.
As kill a king?
Aye, lady, it was my word. Thou wretched, rash, intruding fool. Farewell. I took thee for thy better. Take thy fortune. Thou find'st to be too busy is some danger. Leave wringing of your hands. Peace, sit you down. And let me wring your heart, for so I shall, if it be made of penetrable stuff, if damned custom have not brazed it so that it be proof and bulwark against sense.
What have I done that thou darest wag thy tongue in noise so rude against me?
Such an act that blurs the grace and blush of modesty, calls virtue hypocrite, takes off the rose from the fair forehead of an innocent love and sets a blister there, makes marriage vows as false as dice's oaths. Oh, such a deed, as from the body of contraction plucks the very soul, and sweet religion makes a rhapsody of words. No. Heaven's face does glow o'er this solidity and compound mass with tristful visage, as against the doom is thought sick at the act.
Ay me, what act that roars so loud and thunders in the index?
Look here, upon this picture, and on this. The counterfeit presentment of two brothers. See what a grace was seated on this brow. Hyperion's curls, the front of Jove himself, an eye like Mars to threaten and command, a station like the herald Mercury new lighted on a heaven-kissing hill, a combination and a form, indeed, where every god did seem to set his seal to give the world assurance of a man. This was your husband. Look you now, what follows? Here is your husband, like a mildewed ear, blasting his wholesome brother. Have you eyes? Could you on this fair mountain leave to feed and batten on this moor? Huh? Have you eyes? You cannot call it love. For at your age, the heyday in the blood is tame. It's humble and waits upon the judgment. And what judgment would step from this to this? Sense, sure, you have. Else could you not have motion. But sure, that sense is apoplexed. For madness would not err. Nor sense to ecstasy were ne'er so thralled, but it reserved some quantity of choice to serve in such a difference. What devil was that thus hath cozened you at Hoodman Blind? Eyes without feeling, feeling without sight, ears without hands or eyes, smelling sans all, or but a sickly part of one true sense could not so mote. Oh, shame! Where is thy blush? Rebellious hell, if thou canst mutin in a matron's bones, to flaming youth let virtue be as wax and melt in her own fire. Proclaim no shame when the compulsive ardor gives the charge, since frost itself as actively doth burn and reason panders will.
Oh, Hamlet, speak no more! Thou turnest mine eyes into my very soul, and there I see such black and grained spots as will not leave their tink.
Nay, but to live in the rank sweat of an ensemed bed, stewed in corruption, honeying and making love over the nasty stomach.
Oh, speak to me no more. These words like daggers enter in my ears. No more, sweet Hamlet.
A murderer and a villain. No. A slave that is not 20th part the tithe of your precedent lord.
No.
A vice of kings. A cup purse of the empire and the rule that from a shelf the precious diadem stole and put it in his pocket.
No more!
A king of shreds and patches!
Save me and hover o'er me with your wings, you heavenly guards.
What would your gracious fear?
Alas, he's mad.
Do you not come, your tardy son, to chide that lapsed in time and passion lets go by the important acting of your dread command? Oh, say.
Do not forget, this visitation is but to whet thy almost blunted purpose. But look, amazement on thy mother sits. Oh, step between her and her fighting soul. Conceit in weakest bodies, strongest works. Speak to her, Hamlet.
How is it with you, lady?
Alas, how is it with you that you do bend your eye on vacancy, and with the incorporeal air to hold discourse? For that your eyes, your spirits wildly peep, and as the sleeping soldiers in the alarm, your bedded hair, like life in excrements, starts up and stands on end. O gentle sun, upon the heat and flame of thy distemper, sprinkle cool patience. Whereon do you look?
On him, look you. How pale he glares, his form and cause conjoined, preaching to stones would make him capable. Do not look upon me, lest with this piteous action you convert my stern effects. Then what I have to do will want true colour. Tears, perchance, for blood.
To whom do you speak this?
Do you see nothing there?
Nothing at all. Yet all there is, I see.
Nor did you nothing hear?
No, nothing but ourselves.
Why, look you, there. Look how it steals away. My father, in his habit as he lives. Look where he goes, even now, out of the portal.
This is the very coinage of your brain. This bodiless creation. Ecstasy is very cunning in.
Ecstasy? My pulse, as yours, doth temperately keep time and makes us healthful music. It is not madness that I have uttered. Bring me to the test, and either matter will reword which madness would gamble from. Mother, for the love of grace, lay not that flattering unction to your soul that not your trespass but my madness speaks. It will but skin and film the ulcerous place, whilst rank corruption mining all within infects unseen. Confess yourself to heaven. Repent what's past. Avoid what is to come. And do not spread the compost on the weeds to make them ranker. Forgive me this, my virtue. For in the fatness of these pursy times, virtue itself for vice must pardon beg. Yes, curb and woo for leave to do his good.
Oh, Hamlet, thou hast cleft my heart in twain.
Oh, throw away the worser part of it, and live the purer with the other half. Good night. But go not to my uncle's bed. Assume a virtue, if you have it not. That monster, custom, who all sense doth eat of habits evil, is angel yet in this, that to the use of actions fair and good, he likewise gives a frock or livery that aptly is put on. Refrain tonight,
and that shall lend a kind of easiness to the next abstinence, the next more easy, for use almost can change the stamp of nature, and either master the devil or throw him out with wondrous potency. Once more, good night. And when you are desirous to be blessed, I'll blessing beg of you. For this same Lord I do repent, but heaven hath pleased it so to punish me with this and this with me, that I must be their scourge and minister. I will bestow him, and will answer well the death I gave him. So again, good night. I must be cruel only to be kind. Thus bad begins and worse remains behind. One word more, good lady.
What shall I do?
Not this by no means that I bid you do. Let the bloat king tempt you again to bed, pinch wanton on your cheek, call you his mouse, and let him for a pair of reachy kisses or paddling in your neck with his damned fingers make you to ravel all this matter out, that I essentially am not in madness, but mad in craft. To a good you let him know, for who that's but a queen fair, sober, wise, would from a paddock, from a bat, a jib, such dear concernings hide, who would do so? No, in despite of sense and secrecy, unpeg the basket on the house's top, let the birds fly, and like the famous ape, to try conclusions, in the basket creep and break your own neck down.
Be thou assured, if words be made of breath, and breath of life, I have no life to breathe what thou hast said to me.
I must to England. You know that.
Alack, I had forgot. 'Tis so concluded on.
There's letters sealed. And my two schoolfellows, whom I will trust as I will adders fanged, they bear the mandate. They must sweep my way and marshal me to knavery. Let it work. For 'tis the sport to have the engineer hoist with his own petar, and it shall go hard, but I will delve 1 yard below their minds and blow them at the moon. Oh, 'tis most sweet when in one line 2 crafts directly meet. This man shall set me packing. I'll lug the guts into the neighbor room. Mother, good night indeed. This counsellor is now most still, most secret, and most grave, who was in life a foolish, prating knave. Come, sir, to draw toward an end with you. Good night, mother.
There's matter in his sighs, his profound heaves. You must translate. 'Tis fit we understand them. Where is your son?
Bestow this place on us a little while.
Madam, my lady.
Oh, mine own lord. What have I seen tonight?
What, Gertrude? How does Hamlet?
Mad as the sea and wind, when both contend which is the mightier. In his lawless fit, behind the arras, hearing something stir, whips out his rapier, cries, "A rat! A rat!" And in this brainish apprehension kills the unseen good old man.
Oh, heavy deed. It had been so with us, had we been there. His liberty is full of threats to all, to you yourself, to us, to everyone. Alas, how shall this bloody deed be answered? It will be laid to us, whose providence should have kept short, restrained, and out of haunt this mad young man. But so much was our love, we would not understand what was most fit. But like the owners of a foul disease, to keep it from divulging, let it feed even on the pith of life. Where is he gone?
To draw apart the body he hath killed, or whom his very madness, like some ore among a mineral of metals base, shows itself pure. He weeps for what is done.
Oh, Gertrude, come away. The sun no sooner shall the mountains touch, but we will ship him hence. And this vile deed we must, with all our majesty and skill, both countenance and excuse. Ho, Rosencrantz! Guildenstern, ho!
My lord, my lord.
Friends both, go join you with some further aid.
Hamlet in madness hath Polonius slain, and from his mother's closet hath he dragged him. Go seek him out. Speak fair, and bring the body into the chapel. I pray you haste in this.
Aye, my lord.
Come, Gertrude. We'll call up our wisest friends and let them know both what we mean to do and what's untimely done. So haply, slander, whose whisper o'er the world's diameter, as level as the cannon to his blank, transports his poison shot, may miss our name and hit the woundless air. Oh, come away. My soul is full of discord and dismay.
Safely stowed.
Hamlet!
What soft, what Hamlet! Noise? Who calls on Hamlet? Oh, here they come.
What have you done, my lord, with the dead body?
Compounded it with dust, where 'tis kin.
Tell us where 'tis, that we may take it thence and bear it to the chapel.
Do not believe it.
Believe what?
That I can keep your counsel and not mine own. Besides, to be demanded of a sponge, what replication should be made by the son of a king?
Take you me for a sponge, my lord?
Aye, sir. That soaks up the king's countenance, his rewards, his authorities. When he needs what you have gleaned, it is but squeezing you, and sponge. You shall be dry again.
My lord, you must tell us where the body is and go with us to the king.
The body is with the king, but the king is not with the body. The king is a thing.
A thing, my lord?
Of nothing. Bring me to him. Hide, fox, and all after.
My lord! My lord!
I have sent to seek him and to find the body. How dangerous is it that this man goes loose? Yet must not we put the strong law on him? He's loved of the distracted multitude who like not in their judgment but their eyes. And where 'tis so, the offender's scourge is weighed, but never the offence. To bear all smooth and even, this sudden sending him away must seem deliberate pause. Diseases desperate grown by desperate appliance are relieved, or not at all.
My lord?
How now? What hath befallen?
My lord, where the dead body is bestowed, we cannot get from him.
But where is he?
Without, my lord, guarded to know your pleasure.
Bring him before us.
Ho, Guildenstern, bring him, my lord.
Now, Hamlet, where's Polonius?
At supper.
At supper. Where?
Not where he eats, but where he is eaten. A certain convocation of politic worms are e'en at him. Your worm is your only emperor for diet. We fat all creatures else to fat us, and we fat ourselves for maggots. Your fat king and your lean beggar is but variable service. Two dishes but to one table. That's the end.
Alas, alas.
A man may fish with the worm that hath eat of a king, and eat of the fish that hath fed of that worm.
What dost thou mean by this?
Nothing but to show you how a king may go a progress through the guts of a beggar.
Where is Polonius?
In heaven, send thither to see. If your messenger find him not there, seek him at the other place, yourself. But if indeed you find him not within this month, you shall nose him as you go up the stairs into the lobby.
Go seek him there.
My lord.
He will stay till you come.
Hamlet, this deed, for thine especial safety, which we do tender as we dearly grieve for that which thou hast done, must send thee hence with fiery quickness. Therefore, prepare thyself. The bark is ready and the wind at help. The associates tend and everything is bent for England.
For England?
Aye, Hamlet.
Good.
So is it, if thou knewest our purposes.
I see a cherub that sees them. But come, for England. Farewell, dear mother.
Thy loving father, Hamlet.
My mother. Father and mother is man and wife. Man and wife is one flesh, and so, my mother. Come.
For England.
Follow him at foot. Tempt him with speed aboard. Delay it not. I'll have him hence tonight. Away! For everything is sealed and done that else leans on the affair. Pray you make haste.
Aye, my lord.
And England, if my love thou holdst at aught, as my great power thereof may give thee sense, since yet thy cicatrice looks raw and red after the Danish sword, and thy free oar pays homage to us, thou mayst not coldly set our sovereign process, which imports at full, by letters congruing to that effect, the present death of Hamlet. Do it, England, for like the hectic in my blood he rages, and thou must cure me. Till I know 'tis done, howe'er my haps, My joys are ne'er begun.
Go, Captain, from me greet the Danish king. Tell him that by his license, Fortinbras craves the conveyance of a promised march over his kingdom. You know the rendezvous. If that his majesty would aught with us, we shall express our duty in his eye, and let him know so.
I'll do it, my lord.
Go softly on.
Good sir, whose powers are these?
They are of Norway, sir.
How purposed, sir, I pray you?
Against some part of Poland.
Who commands them, sir?
The nephew to old Norway, Fortinbras.
Goes it against the main of Poland, sir, or for some frontier?
Truly to speak, and with no addition, we go to gain a little patch of ground that hath in it no profit but the name. To pay 5 ducats. 5, I would not farm it. Nor will it yield to Norway or the Pole a ranker rate should it be sold in fee.
Why, then the Polack never will defend it.
Yes, it is already garrisoned.
2,000 souls and 20,000 ducats will not debate the question of this straw. This is the imposthume of much wealth and peace that inward breaks and shows no cause without. Why the man dies. I humbly thank you, sir.
God be with you, sir.
Will it please you go, my lord?
I'll be with you straight. Go a little before. How all occasions to inform against me and spur my dull revenge. What is a man if his chief good and market of his time be but to sleep and feed? A beast, no more. Sure, he that made us, and with such large discourse looking before and after, gave us not that capability and godlike reason to fust in us unused. Now, where it be bestial oblivion, or some craven scruple of thinking too precisely on the event, a thought which quartered hath but one part wisdom and ever 3 parts coward, I do not know why yet I live to say this thing's to do, sith I have call and will and strength and means to do it. Examples gross as earth exhort me. Witness this army of such mass and charge, led by a delicate and tender prince, whose spirit with divine ambition puffed makes mouths at the invisible event, exposing what is mortal and unsure to all that fortune, death, and danger dare, even for an eggshell. Rightly to be great is not to stir without great argument, but greatly to find quarrel in a straw when honor's at the stake. How stand I, then, but have a father killed, a mother stained, excitements of my reason and my blood, and let all sleep, while to my shame I see the imminent death of 20,000 men that for a fantasy and trick of fame go to their graves like beds, fight for a plot whereon the numbers cannot try the cause, which is not tomb enough and continent to hide the slain. Oh, from this time forth, my thoughts be bloody, or be nothing worth.
I will not speak with her.
She is importunate, indeed distract. Her mood will needs be pitied.
What would she have?
She speaks much of her father. Says she hears there's tricks in the world, and hems and beats her heart, spurns enviously at straw, speaks things in doubt that carry but half sense. Her speech is nothing, yet the unshaped use of it doth move the hearers to collection. They aim at it and botch the words up fit to their own thoughts, which as her winks and nods and gestures yield them, indeed would make one think there might be thought,
though nothing sure, yet much unhappily. 'Twere good she were spoken with, for she may strew dangerous conjectures in ill-breeding minds.
Let her come in.
My lady.
To my sick soul, as sin's true nature is, each toy seems prologue to some great amiss. So full of artless jealousy is guilt, it spills itself in fearing to be spilt.
Where is the beauteous majesty of Denmark?
Oh, no, Ophelia.
How should I your true love know from another one? By his cockle, hat, and staff, and his sandal shoe.
Alas, sweet lady, what imports this song?
Say you? Nay, pray you mark. He is dead and gone, lady. He is dead and gone. At his head a grass-green turf, at his heels a stone.
Nay, but Ophelia...
Pray you mark. White his shroud as the mountain snow.
Alas, look here, my lord.
Lauded all with sweet flowers. Flowers which, be wept to the grave, did not go with true love showers.
How do you, pretty lady?
Well, God ill'd you. They say the owl was a baker's daughter. Lord, we know what we are, but know not what we may be. God be at your table.
Conceit upon her father.
Pray, let's have no words of this. But when they ask you what it means, say you this. Tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day, all in the morning betime, and I am made at your window to be your valentine. Then up he rose and donned his clothes and upped the chamber door. Let in the maid, that outer maid never departed more.
Pretty Ophelia.
Indeed, without an oath, I'll make an end on't. By Gis and by Saint Charity, alack and fie for shame. Young men will do it if they come to it by cock. They are to blame. Quoth she, before you tumbled me, you promised me to wed. He answers, so would I had done by yonder sun, and thou hadst not come to my bed.
How long hath she been thus?
I hope all will be well. We must be patient, but I cannot choose but weep to think they would lay him in the cold ground. My brother shall know of it, and so I thank you for your good counsel. Come, my coach. Good night, ladies. Good night, sweet ladies. Good night. Good night.
Follow her close. Give her good watch, I pray you.
My lord.
Oh, this is the poison of deep grief. It springs all from her father's death. And now, behold. Oh, Gertrude, Gertrude, when sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions. First, her father slain. Next, your son gone, and he most violent author of his own just remove. The people muddied, thick and unwholesome in their thoughts, and whispers for good Polonius' death. And we have done but greenly and hugger-mugger to inter him. Poor Ophelia, divided from herself and her fair judgment. Without the witch, we are pictures, or mere beasts. Last, and as much containing as all these, her brother is in secret come from France, feeds on his wonder, keeps himself in clouds, and wants not buzzers to infect his ear with pestilent speeches of his father's death, wherein necessity of matter beggared, will nothing stick our person to arraign in ear and ear. Oh, my dear Gertrude, this, like to a murdering piece, in many places gives me a superfluous death.
Look, what noise is this?
Attend! Where are my Switzers? Let them guard the door!
My lord!
What is the matter?
Save yourself, my lord. The ocean, overpeering of his list, eats not the flats with more impetuous haste than young Laertes in a riotous head o'erbears your officers. The rabble call him lord. They cry, choose we! Laertes shall be king! Caps, hands, and tongues are Lord it to the clouds. Laertes shall be king. Laertes, king!
Oh, cheerfully on the false trail they cry. Oh, this is counter, you false Danish dogs.
The doors are broke!
Oh. Where is this king?
Laertes.
Oh, the vile king.
Give me my father.
Calmly, good Laertes.
That drop of blood that's calm proclaims me bastard. Cries cuckold to my father, brands the harlot even here between the chaste, unsmirched brow of my true mother.
What is the cause, Laertes, that thy rebellion looks so giant-like? Let him go, Gertrude. Do not fear our person. As such divinity doth hedge a king, that treason can but peep to what it would. Acts little of his will. Tell me, Laertes, why art thou thus incensed? Let him go, Gertrude. Speak, man.
Where is my father?
Dead.
But not by him.
Let him demand his fill.
How came he dead? I'll not be juggled with. To hell, allegiance, vows to the blackest devil, conscience and grace to the profoundest pit. I dare damnation. To this point I stand, that both the worlds I give to negligence. Let come what comes, only I'll be revenged most truly for my father.
Who shall stay you?
My will, not all the world. And for my means I'll husband them so well they shall go far with little.
Good Laertes, if you desire to know the certainty of your dear father, is writ in your revenge that swoopstake you will draw both friend and foe, winner and loser.
None but his enemies.
Will you know them then?
To his good friends. Thus wide I'll ope my arms, and like the kind, life-rendering pelican repass them with my blood.
Why? Now you speak like a good child and a true gentleman. That I am guilty of your father's death, and am most sensibly in grief for it. It shall as level to your judgment peer as day does to your eye.
Oh no, what noise is that?
Let her come in.
They bore him barefaced on the pier. Hey, non, nonny, nonny, hey, nonny. And in his grave rained many a tear. Fare you well, my dove.
Oh, heat, dry up my brains. Tears seven times salt burn out the sense and virtue of mine eye. By heaven, thy madness shall be paid with weight till our scale turn the beam. Oh, Rose of May, dear maid, kind sister, sweet Ophelia. Oh, heavens, is possible a young maid's wit should be as mortal as an old man's life? Hadst thou thy wits and didst persuade revenge, it could not move thus.
You must sing a down, a down, and you call him a downer. Oh, how the wheel becomes it! It is a false steward that stole his master's daughter!
This nothing's more than matter!
There's Rosemary. That's for remembrance. Pray you, love, remember. And there is pansies. That's for thought.
A document in madness, thoughts and remembrance fitted.
There's fennel for you and columbines. Mm. There's rue for you, and here's some for me. We may call it a herb of grace or Sundays. Oh, you must wear your rue with a difference. There's a daisy. I would give you some violets, but they withered all when my father died. They say he made a good end.
Thought and afflictions, passion, hell itself, she turns to favour and to prettiness.
And will not come again, and will not come again. No, no! He is dead. Go to thy deathbed. He never will come again. His beard was as white as snow. Flaxen was his poll. He is gone, and we cast away moan. God have mercy on his soul. And of all Christian souls, I pray God, God be with you.
Do you see this? Oh, God.
Laertes, I must commune with your grief, for you deny me right. Go but apart. Make choice of whom your wisest friends you will. And they shall hear and judge twixt you and me. If by direct or by collateral hand they find us touched, we will our kingdom give,
our crown, our life, and all that we call ours to you in satisfaction. But if not, be you content to lend your patience to us, and we shall jointly labor with your soul to give it due content.
Let this be so. His means of death, his obscure funeral, no trophy, sword, nor hatchment o'er his bones, no noble rite, nor formal ostentation, cry to be heard as 'twere from heaven to earth that I must call it in question.
So you shall. And where the offense is, let the great axe fall. I pray you, go with me.
What are they that would speak with me?
Seafaring men, sir. They say they have letters for you.
Let them come in. I do not know from what part of the world I should be greeted, if not from Lord Hamlet.
God bless you, sir.
Let him bless thee, too.
He shall, sir, and please him. There's a letter for you, sir. It came from the ambassador that was bound for England. If your name be Horatio, as I am let to know it is.
Horatio, when thou shalt have overlooked this, give these fellows some means to the king. They have letters for him. Ere we were 2 days old at sea, a pirate of very warlike appointment gave us chase. Finding ourselves too slow of sail, we put on a compelled valour, and in the grapple I boarded them. On the instant they got clear of our ship, so I alone became their prisoner. They have dealt with me like thieves of mercy, but they knew what they did. I am to do a good turn for them. Let the king have the letters I have sent, and repair thou to me with as much speed as thou wouldst fly death. I have words to speak in thine ear will make thee dumb, yet are they much too light for the bore of the matter. These good fellows will bring thee where I am. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern hold their course for England. Of them I have much to tell thee. Farewell, he that thou knowest thine, Hamlet. Come, sirs. I will give you way for these letters, and do't the speedier that you may direct me to him from whom you brought them.
Now must your conscience my acquaintance seal, and you must put me in your heart for friend, sith you have heard, and with a knowing ear, that he who hath your noble father slain pursued my life.
It well appears, but tell me why you proceeded not against these feats so crimeful and so capital in nature, as by your safety, wisdom, all things else you mainly were stirred up.
Oh, for two special reasons, which may to you perhaps seem much unsinued, but yet to me they're strong. The queen, his mother, lives almost by his looks. And for myself, my virtue or my plague, be it either which, she's so conjunctive to my life and soul that as the star moves not but in his sphere, I could not but by her. The other motive why to a public count I might not go is the great love that general gender bear him, who, dipping all his faults in their affection, work, like the spring that turneth wood to stone, convert his gyves to graces, so that my arrows, too slightly timbered for so loud a wind, would have reverted to my bow again, but not where I have aimed them.
And so have I a noble father lost, a sister driven into desperate terms, whose worth, if praises may go back again, stood challenger on mount of all the age for her perfections. But my revenge will come.
Break not your sleeps for that. You must not think that we are made of stuff so flat and dull that we can let our beard be shook with danger and think it pastime. You shortly shall hear more. I loved your father, and we love ourselves, and that, I hope, will teach you to imagine.
My lord!
How now? What news?
Letters, my lord, from Hamlet. These to your majesty, this to the queen.
From Hamlet? Who brought them?
Sailors, my lord, they say. I saw them not. They were given me by Claudio. He received them of him that brought them.
They are tears, you shall hear them. Leave us.
My lord.
High and mighty, you shall know that I am set naked in your kingdom. Tomorrow shall I beg leave to see your kingly eyes, when I shall, first asking your pardon, thereunto recount the occasion of my sudden and more strange return. Hamlet. What does this mean? Are all the rest come back? Or is it some abuse and no such thing?
Know you the hand?
'Tis Hamlet's character, naked. And in a postscript here he says, alone. Can you advise me?
I am lost in it, my lord, but let him come. It warms the very sickness in my heart that I shall live and tell him to his teeth, thus didst thou.
If it be so, Laertes, will you be ruled by me?
Aye, my lord, so you will not o'errule me to a peace.
To thine own peace. If he be now returned, as checking at his voyage, and that he means no more to undertake it, I will work him to an exploit now ripe in my device, under the which he shall not choose, but fall. And for his death no wind of blame shall breathe, but even his mother shall uncharge the practice and call it accident.
My lord, I will be ruled. The rather if you could devise it so that I might be the organ.
It falls right. You have been talked of since your travel much, and that in Hamlet's hearing. Some 2 months since, here was a gentleman of Normandy who made confession of you, and gave you such a masterly report for art and exercise in your defense, and for your rapier, most especial, that he cried out 'twould be a sight indeed if one could match you. This report of his did Hamlet so envenom with his envy, that he could nothing do but wish and beg your sudden coming o'er to play with you. Now, out of this...
What out of this, my lord?
Laertes, was your father dear to you? Or are you like the painting of a sorrow, a face without a heart?
Why ask you this?
Not that I think you did not love your father, but that I know love is begun by time, and that I see in passages of proof time qualifies the spark and fire of it. There lives within the very flame of love a kind of wick or snuff that will abate it, and nothing is at a like goodness still, for goodness, growing to a pleurisy, dies in his own too much. That we would do, we should do when we would. For this wood changes, and hath abatements and delays as many as there are tongue, our hands, our accidents. And then this should is like a spendthrift sigh that hurts by easing. But to the quicker the ulcer. Hamlet comes back. What would you undertake to show yourself indeed your father's son, more than in words?
To cut his throat in the church.
No place indeed should murder sanctuarize. Revenge should have no bounds. But, good Laertes, will you do this? Keep close within your chamber. Hamlet returns shall know you are come home. We'll put on those shall praise your excellence and set a double varnish on the fane the Frenchman gave you. Bring you in fine together and wager on your heads. He, being remiss, most generous and free from all contriving, will not peruse the foils, so that with ease or with a little shuffling, you may choose a sword unbated, and in a pass of practice, requite him for your father.
I will do it. And for that purpose, I'll anoint my sword. I bought an unction of a mountebank so mortal that but dip a knife in it. Where it draws blood, no cataplasm so rare, collected from all simples that have virtue under the moon, can save the thing from death that is but scratched withal. I'll touch my point with this contagion, that if I gall him slightly, it may be death.
Let's further think on this. Weigh what convenience, both of time and means, may fit us to our shape. If this should fail, and that our drift look through our bad performance, 'twere better not essayed. Therefore, this project should have a back, or second, that might hold if this did blast in proof soft. Let me see. We'll make a solemn wager on your cunnings. I have it. When in your motion you are hot and dry, as make your bouts more violent to that end, and that he calls for drink, I'll have prepared him a chalice for the nonce, whereon but sipping. If he by chance escape your venom stuck, our purpose may hold there.
Oh.
Stay, what noise?
Hello, sweet queen.
One woe doth tread upon another's heel, so fast they follow. Your sisters drowned, Laertes.
Drowned? Oh, where?
There is a willow grows aslant a brook that shows his hoar leaves in the glassy stream. There, with fantastic garlands, did she come, of crow flowers, nettles, daisies, and long purples, that liberal shepherds give a grosser name, but our cold maids do dead men's fingers call them. There,
on the pendant boughs, her coronet weeds clambering to hang. An envious sliver broke when down her weedy trophies and herself fell in the weeping brook. Her clothes spread wide, and mermaid-like a while they bore her up, which time she chanted snatches of old tunes, as one incapable of her own distress, or like a creature native and endued unto that element. But long it could not be, till that her garments, heavy with their drink, pulled the poor wretch from her melodious lay to muddy death.
Alas, and she is drowned.
Drowned. Drowned.
Too much of water hast thou, poor Ophelia, and therefore I forbid my tears. But yet, it is our trick. Nature her custom holds, let shame say what it will. When these are gone, the woman will be out. Adieu, my lord. I have a speech of fire that fain would blaze, but that this folly doubts it.
Let's follow Gertrude. How much I had to do to calm his rage, now fear I this will give it start again. Therefore, let's follow.
Is she to be buried in Christian burial when she woefully seeks her own salvation?
I tell thee she is. Sure. Therefore, make her grave straight. The crowner hath sat on her and finds a Christian burial.
How can that be? Unless she drowned herself in her own defence.
Why, 'tis found so. If this had not been a gentlewoman, she should have been buried out of Christian burial.
Aye, there thou sayst. And the more pity the great folk should have countenance in this world to drown or hang themselves more than they're even Christian. Oh, come, Miss Spade. There is no ancient gentleman but gardeners, ditchers, and grave makers. The old Ab Adams profession.
Was he a gentleman?
Was the first that ever bore arms.
Why, he had none.
What? Art a heathen? How dost thou understand the scripture? The scripture says Adam digged. Could he dig without arms? I'll put another question to thee. If thou answerest me not to the purpose, confess thyself.
Go to?
What? Is he that builds stronger than either the mason, the shipwright, or the carpenter?
The gallows maker, for that outlives 1,000 tenants.
I like that whip well, in good faith. Gallows does well, but how does it well? It does well to those that do ill. Now thou dost ill to say the gallows is built stronger than the church. Ah, gell, the gallows may do well to thee. To it again, come.
Now, who builds stronger than a mason, a shipwright, or a carpenter?
Carpenter. Aye, tell me that. A grave maker. The houses he makes last till doomsday. Go, fetch me a stoup of liquor. When I love these now, both as very trees, they come back to the dawn above me now. Tell me, oh, there was nothing to me.
Is this fellow no feeling of his business, Horatio? He sings at grave-making. Custom hath made it in him as property of easiness.
Tis e'en so. The hand of little employment hath the daintier sense.
If it had never been.
That skull had a tongue in it and could sing once. How the knave jowls it to the ground as if 'twere Cain's jawbone that did the first murder.
This might be the pate of a politician, which this ass now o'erreaches, one that would circumvent God, might it not?
It might, my lord.
Or of a courtier, which could say, good morrow, sweet lord. How dost thou, sweet lord? This might be my lord, such a one that prays my lord such a one's horse when he went to beg it, might it not?
Aye, my lord.
Why, e'en so. And now my lady worms, chopless and knocked about the mazzard with a sexton's spade. Yes, fine revolution, and we had the trick to see it. If these bones cost no more the breeding but to play at loggets with them, mine ache to think on't. Here's another. Why, may not that be the skull of a lawyer? Where be his quiddities now, his quillets, his cases, his tenures and his tricks? Why does he suffer this mad knave now to knock him about the sconce with a dirty shovel and will not tell him of his action of battery? I will speak to this fellow.
He take life at 59. The guest is me each.
Whose grave is this, sirrah?
Mine, sir.
What man dost thou dig it for?
For no man, sir.
What woman, then?
For none neither.
Who is to be buried in?
One that was a woman, sir. But rest her soul, she's dead.
How absolute the knave is. We must speak by the card, or equivocation will undo us. By the Lord, Horatio, this 3 years I've took note of it. The age is grown so picked that the toe of the peasant comes so near the heel of the courtier, he galls his kibe. How long hast thou been a gravemaker?
Of all the days in the year, it came to it that day that our last king, Amlitor, came fought in brass.
How long is that since?
Can't you tell that? Every fool can tell that. It was that very day that young Hamlet was born. He is mad, sent into England.
Aye, marry. Why was he sent into England?
Why? Because he was mad. He shall recover his wits there, or if he do not, tis no great matter there.
Why?
It will not be seen in him there. There the manner is mad to see.
How came he mad?
Very strangely, they say.
How strangely?
Faith. He with losing his wits.
Upon what ground?
Why, here in Denmark. You know, I've been sexton near man and boy 30 years.
How long will a man lie at the earth ere he rot?
Faith, if he be not rotten before he dies, we have many pocket courses nowadays, scarce hold the laying in. Will last you some 8 year, 9 year? 10 will last you 9 year.
Why, he more than another?
Why, sir, his hide is so tanned with his trade, it will keep out water a great while. And your water is a sore decayer of your awesome dead body. Here's a skull now. Had to laid you in the earth 23 years.
Whose was it?
Awesome mad fellows it was. Who do you think it was?
Nay, I know not.
A pestilence on him for a mad rogue. Pour a flagon of rain, show me at once. This same skull, sir, was, sir, Yorick's skull. King's jester.
This?
In that.
Let me see it. Alas. Poor Yorick. I knew him, Horatio. A fellow of infinite jest. A most excellent fancy. He hath borne me on his back 1,000 times, and now, how abhorred in my imagination it is. My gorge rises at it. Here hung those lips that I have kissed, I know not how oft. Where be your gibes now? your gambols, your songs, your flashes of merriment that were wont to set the table on a roar. Not one now to mock your own grinning. Quite chopfallen. Now get you to my lady's chamber and tell her, let her paint an inch thick. To this favour she must come. Make her laugh at that. Prithee, Horatio, tell me one thing.
What's that, my lord?
Dost thou think Alexander looked to this fashion of the earth?
Even so.
And smelt so?
Even so, my lord.
To what base uses we may return, Horatio. Why may not imagination trace the noble dust of Alexander till he find it stopping a bunghole?
'Twere to consider too curiously to consider so.
No faith, not a jot, but to follow him thither with modesty enough and likelihood to lead it as thus. Alexander died. Alexander was buried. Alexander returneth to dust. The dust is earth. Of earth we make loam. And why of that loam whereto he was converted, might they not stop a beer barrel? Imperious Caesar, dead and turned to clay, might stop a hole to keep the wind away. Oh, that that earth which kept the world in awe should patch a wall to expel the winter's flaw. But soft. Softer, why? Here comes the king, the queen, the courtiers. Who is this they follow, and with such maimed rites? This doth betoken the course they follow did with desperate hand fordo its own life. 'Twas of some estate. Couch we a while and mark.
What ceremony else?
That is Laertes, a very noble youth, mark.
What ceremony else?
Her obsequies have been as far enlarged as we have warranted. Her death was doubtful, and but that great commander sways the order, she should in ground unsanctified have lodged to the last trumpet. But charitable prayers, shards, flints, and pebbles should be thrown on her. Yet here she has allowed her virgin crants, her maiden struments, and the bringing home of bell and burial.
Must there no more be done?
No more be done. We should profane the service of the dead to sing a requiem, and such rest to her is to peace-parted souls.
Lay her in the earth, and from her fair and unpolluted flesh may violets spring. I tell thee, churlish priest, a ministering angel shall my sister be when thou liest howling.
What, the fair Ophelia?
Sweets to the sweet, farewell. I hoped thou shouldst have been my Hamlet's wife. I thought thy bride bed to have decked, sweet maid, and not have strewed thy grave.
Oh, treble woe. Fall 10 times double on that cursed head, whose wicked deed thy most ingenious sense deprive thee of. Hold off the earth a while till I have caught her once more in mine arms. Now pile your dust upon the quick and dead, till of this flat a mountain you have made to o'ertop old Pelion, or the skyish head of blue Olympus.
What is he whose grief bears such an emphasis, whose praise of sorrow conjures the wandering stars and makes them stand like wonder-wounded hearers? This is I, Hamlet! The Dane!
Oh!
Oh! Oh! Take my soul! Oh! Pay us not well! Take my fingers from my throat! Though I am not splendid and rash, yet have I in me something dangerous which yet I wiseless fear! Hold off my hand!
Flat them asunder!
Hamlet, help!
Good man! Why, I will fight with him upon this theme until my eyelids will no longer wag.
Oh, my son, what theme?
I loved Ophelia. 40,000 brothers could not with all their quantity of love make up my sum. What wilt thou do for her?
Oh, he is mad, Laertes.
For love of God, forbear him.
Soon show me what thou do. Would weep, would fight, would fast, would tear thyself, would drink up isolate a crocodile, I'll do it. Dost thou come here to whine, to outface me with leaping in her grave? Be buried quick with her, and so will I. And if thou prate of mountains, let them throw millions of acres on us, till our ground, singeing his pate against the burning zone, make Ossa like a wart. Nay,
and thou'lt mouth, I'll rant as well as thou.
This is mere madness, and thus a while the fit will work on him. Anon, as patient as the female dove when that her golden couplets are disclosed, his silence will set drooping.
Hear you, sir. What is the reason that you use me thus? I loved you ever. But it is no matter. Let Hercules himself do what he may. The cat will mew, and dog will have his day.
I pray thee, good Horatio, wait upon him.
My lord.
Now, Laertes, strengthen your patience in our last night's speech. We'll put the matter to the present push.
Good Gertrude, set some watch over your son. This grave shall have a living monument. An hour of quiet shortly shall we see. Till then, in patience our proceeding be.
So much for this, sir. Now shall you see the other. You do remember all the circumstances?
Remember it, my lord.
Sir, in my heart there was a kind of fighting that would not let me sleep. Methought I lay worse than the mutins in the bilboes. Rashly, and praised be rashness for it, let us know our indiscretion sometimes serves us well when our deep plots do pall. And that should learn us. There's a divinity that shapes our ends, rough hew them how he will.
That is most certain.
Up from my cabin, my sea gown scarfed about me, in the dark groped I to find out them, had my desire, fingered their packet, and in fine withdrew to mine own room again, there to unseal their grand commission. Where I found Horatio, a royal knavery, an exact command, larded with many several sorts of reasons, importing Denmark's health and England's too, with ho such bugs and goblins in my life, that on the supervised, no leisure baited, no not to stay the grinding of the axe, my head should be struck off.
Is it possible?
Here's the commission, read it at more leisure. But wilt thou hear how I did proceed?
I beseech you.
Being thus benetted round with villainies, ere I could make a prologue to my brains, they had begun the play. I sat me down, devised a new commission, and wrote out fair and earnest conjuration from the king that on the view and knowing of these contents, without debatement further, more or less, he should these bearers put to sudden death. Not shriving time allowed.
How was this sealed?
Why, even in that was heaven ordinant. I had my father's signet in my purse, which was the model of that Danish seal. Folded the writ up in the form of the other, subscribed it, gave it the impression, placed it safely, the changeling never known.
So Guildenstern and Rosencrantz go to it.
Why, man, they did make love to this employment. They're not near my conscience. Their defeat does by their own insinuation grow. 'Tis dangerous when the baser nature comes between the pass and fell insensate points of mighty opposites.
Why, what a king is this?
Does it not, think thee, stand me now upon? He that hath killed my king and whored my mother, popped in between the election and my hopes, thrown out his angle for my proper life, and with such cousinage, is not perfect conscience to quit him with this arm, and is not to be damned to let this canker of our nature come in further evil?
It must be shortly known to him from England what is the issue of the business there.
It will be short. The interim is mine. And a man's life's no more than to say one. But I am very sorry, good Horatio, that to Laertes I forgot myself. For by the image of my cause, I see the portraiture of his. I'll court his favours. But sure, the bravery of his grief did put me into a towering passion.
Peace. Who comes here?
Your lordship is right welcome back to Denmark.
I humbly thank you, sir. Dost know this waterfly?
No, my good lord.
Thy state is the more gracious, for 'tis a vice to know him.
Sweet lord, if your lordship were at leisure, I should impart a thing to you from his majesty.
I will receive it, sir, with all diligence of spirits.
Ah.
Your bonnet, to his right use, 'tis for the head.
Oh, I thank your lordship. It is very hot.
No, believe me, it is very cold. The wind is northerly.
It is indifferent cold, my lord, indeed.
But yet methinks it is very sultry and hot, or my complexion would...
Exceedingly, my lord. It is very sultry. As t'were... I cannot tell how. My lord, his majesty bade me signify to you that he has laid a great wager on your head. Sir, this is the matter.
I beseech you, be covered.
Nay, good my lord, for mine ease in good faith. Sir, here is newly come to court Laertes. Believe me, an absolute gentleman, full of most excellent differences, of very soft society and great showings. Indeed, to speak feelingly of him, he is the card or calendar of gentry, for you shall find in him the continent of what parts a gentleman would see.
Sir, his definement suffers no perdition in you, though I know to divide him inventorially would dizzy the arithmetic of memory.
Your lordship speaks most infallibly of him.
What imports the nomination of this gentleman?
Of Laertes.
His purse is empty already. All's golden words are spent.
Of him, sir?
I know you are not ignorant.
I would you did, sir, yet in faith, if you did, it would not much approve me. Well, sir?
You are not ignorant of what excellence Laertes is.
I dare not confess that, lest I should compare with him in excellence. But to know a man well were to know himself.
I mean, sir, for his weapon... But in the imputation laid on him by them in his mead, he's unfettered.
What's his weapon?
Rapier and dagger.
That's two of his weapons, but well.
The king, sir, hath wagered with him 6 Barbary horses, against the which he has impawned, as I take it, 6 French rapiers and poniards, with their assigns as girdle, hangers, and so. 3 of the carriages, in faith, are very dear to fancy, very responsive to the hilts. Most delicate carriages, and a very liberal conceit.
What call you the carriages?
The carriages, sir, are the hangers.
The phrase would be more germane to the matter if we could carry a cannon by our sides, but why is all this impawned, as you call it?
The king, sir, hath laid, sir, that in 12 passes between yourself and him, he shall not exceed you 3 hits. He hath laid on 12 for 9, and it would come to immediate trial if your lordship would vouchsafe the answer.
How if I answer no?
I mean, my lord, the opposition of your person in trial.
Sir, I will walk here in the hall. If it please his majesty, it is the breathing time of day with me. Let the foils be brought, the gentleman willing, and the king hold his purpose. I will win for him, and I can. If not... I will gain nothing but my shame and the odd hit.
Shall I re-deliver you in so?
To this effect, sir, after what flourish your nature will.
I commend my duty to your lordship.
Yours, yours.
Yours.
He does well to commend it himself. There are no tongues else for his turn.
This lapwing runs away with the shell on his head.
He did comply with his dug before he sucked it. Thus has he, and many more of the same breed that I know this drossy age dotes on, only got the tune of the time and outward habits of encounter, a kind of yeasty collection which carries them through and through the most profound and winnowed opinions, and do but blow them to their trial. The bubbles are out.
My lord, his majesty commended him to you by young Osric, who brings back to him that you attend him in the hall. He sends to know if your pleasure hold to play with the artist, or that you will take longer time.
I am constant to my purpose. They follow the king's pleasure. If his fitness speaks, mine is ready, now or whensoever, provided I be so able as now.
The king and queen and all are coming down.
In happy time.
The queen desires you use some gentle entertainment to Laertes before you fall to play.
She well instructs me.
My lord.
You will lose this wager, my lord.
I do not think so. Since he went into France, I have been in continual practice. I shall win at the odds. But thou wouldst not think how ill all's here about my heart. But 'tis no matter.
Nay, good my lord.
It is but foolery. But it is such a kind of gain-giving as would perhaps trouble a woman.
If your mind dislike anything, obey it. I will forestall their repair hither and say you are not fit.
Not a whit. We defy augury. There's special providence in the fall of a sparrow. If it be now... It is not to come. If it be not to come, it will be now. If it be not now, yet it will come. The readiness
is all. Since no man has aught of what he leaves, what is't to leave betimes? Let be.
Come, Hamlet, come, and take this hand from me.
Laertes.
Sir.
Give me your pardon, sir. I have done you wrong, but pardoned as you're a gentleman. This presence knows, and you must needs have heard, how I am punished with a sore distraction. What I have done, that might your nature, honor, and exception roughly awake, I here proclaim was madness. Was Hamlet wronged Laertes? Never Hamlet. If Hamlet from himself be ta'en away, and when he's not himself does wrong Laertes, then Hamlet does it not. Hamlet denies it. Who does it then? His madness. If it be so, Hamlet is of the faction that is wronged. His madness is poor Hamlet's enemy. Sir, in this audience, let my disclaiming from a purposed evil free me so far in your most generous thoughts that I have shot my arrow o'er the house and hurt my brother.
I am satisfied in nature, whose motive in this case should stir me most to my revenge. But in my terms of honor, I stand aloof and will no reconcilement till by some elder masters of known honor I have a voice and president of peace to keep my name ungored. But till that time, I do receive your offered love, like love, and will not wrong it.
I embrace it, freely. And will this brother's wager frankly play? Give us the foils. Come on.
Come, one for me.
I'll be your foil, Laertes. In mine ignorance, your skill shall like a star of the darkest night stick fiery off indeed.
Hey, mock me, sir.
No, by this hand.
Give them the foils, young Osric.
My lord.
Come, Hamlet. You know the wager.
Very well, my lord. Your grace has laid the odds of the weaker side.
I do not fear it. I have seen you both. But since he is better, we have therefore odds.
This is too heavy. Let me see another.
This likes me well. These foils have all a length.
Aye, my good lord.
Set the stoups of wine upon that table.
My lord.
If Hamlet give the first or second hit, or quit in answer of the third exchange, let all the battlements their ordnance fire. The king shall drink to Hamlet's better breath. And in the cup an union shall he throw, richer than that which four successive kings in Denmark's crown have worn. Give me the cups. And let the kettle to the trumpet speak, the trumpet to the cannoneer without, the cannons to the heavens to earth. Now the king drinks to Hamlet. Come, begin. And you, the judges, bear a wary eye.
Come on, sir.
Come, my lord. One!
No!
Judgment!
A hit! A very palpable hit.
Well, again.
Stay. Give me drink.
My lord.
Hamlet, this pearl is thine. Here's to thy health. Give him the cup.
I'll play this bout first. Set it by a while. Come! Another hit! What say you?
A touch, I do confess.
Our son shall win.
He's fat and scant of breath. Here, Hamlet, take my napkin, rub thy brows. The queen carouses to thy fortune, Hamlet.
Good, madam.
Gertrude, do not drink.
I will, my lord. I pray you pardon me.
It is the poisoned cup. It is too late.
I dare not drink yet, madam. By and by.
Come, let me wipe thy face.
My lord, I'll hit him now.
I do not think.
And yet it is almost against my conscience.
Come, for the third, Laertes, you do but dally. I pray you pass with your best violence. I'm afeard you make a wanton of me.
Say you so. Come on.
Nothing neither way.
Horatio.
Have at you. No!
Ah.
incensed.
My sword.
My sword. Now. So. Come. Again.
Laertes! Look to the queen, there, ho! They bleed on both sides.
Who is it, my lord?
How is Laertes? Why, as a woodcock to mine own spring, Josric, I am justly killed with mine own treachery.
How does the queen?
She swoons to see them bleed.
No, no, the drink! The drink! Oh, my dear heaven, the drink! The drink!
Villainy.
Let the doors be locked. Treachery, seek it out.
It is here, Hamlet. Hamlet, thou art slain. No medicine in the world can do thee good. In thee there is not half an hour of life. Huh? The treacherous instrument is in thy hand, unbated and envenomed. A foul practice hath turned itself on me. Lo, here I lie, never to rise again. My mother's poisoned. I can no more. The king. The king's to blame!
The point envenomed too. Then.
Venom to thy work!
Yet defend me, friends!
Yeah. I am but hurt! Here, thou incestuous, murderous, damned Dane, drink of this potion! Is thy union here? Follow my mother!
He is justly served. It is a poison tempered by himself. Exchange forgiveness with me, noble Hamlet. Mine and my father's death come not upon thee, nor thine on me.
Heaven make thee free of it. I follow thee. I am dead, Horatio. Wretched queen, adieu. You that look pale and tremble at this chance, that are but mutes or audience to this act, had I but time, as this fell sergeant Death is strict in his arrest, oh, I could tell you. But let it be. Horatio, I am dead. Thou livest. Report me, and my cause aright to the unsatisfied.
Never believe it. Hmm? I am more an antique Roman than a Dane. Here's yet some liquor left.
Oh, how's that, a man? Give me the cup. Go, by heaven, I'll have it.
Oh, God, Horatio. What a wounded name, things standing thus unknown shall I leave behind me. If thou didst ever hold me in thy heart, absent thee from felicity awhile, and in this harsh world draw thy breath in pain to tell my story. What warlike noise is this?
Young Fortinbras, with conquest come from Poland, to the ambassadors of England gives this warlike volley.
I die, Horatio. A potent poison quite o'ercrows my spirit. I cannot live to hear the news from England, but I do prophesy. The election lights on Fortinbras. He has my dying voice. So tell him, with the occurrence more and less which have solicited, the rest is silence.
Now cracks
takes a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince. And flights of angels sing thee to thy rest.
Why does the drum come hither?
Where is this sultan?
What is it you would see?
If aught of woe or wonder, cease your search.
This quarry cries on havoc. O proud death, what feast is toward in thine eternal cell? That thou so many princes at a shot so bloodily hast struck.
The sight is dismal, and our affairs from England come too late. The ears are senseless that should give us hearing, to tell him his commandment is fulfilled, that Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Where should we have our thanks?
Not from his mouth. Had it the ability of life to thank you, he never gave commandment for their death. But since so jump upon this bloody question, you from the Polack wars and you from England are here arrived. Give order that these bodies, high on a stage, be placed to the view. And let me speak to the yet unknowing world how these things came about. So shall you hear of carnal, bloody, and unnatural acts, of accidental judgments, casual slaughters, of deaths put on by cunning and forced cause, and in this upshot, purposes mistook, fallen on the inventors' heads. All this can I truly deliver.
Let us haste to hear it, and call the noblest to the audience. For me, with sorrow, I embrace my fortune. I have some rights of memory in this kingdom, which now to claim my vantage doth invite me.
Of that I shall have also cause to speak, and from his mouth, whose voice will draw on more. But let this same be presently performed, even while men's minds are wild, lest more mischance on plots and errors happen.
Let four captains bear Hamlet like a soldier to the stage, for he was likely, had he been put on, to have proved most royally. And for his passage, the soldier's music and the rites of war, speak loudly for him. Take up the bodies. Such a sight as this becomes the field, but here shows much amiss. Go. Bid the soldiers shoot.
In the tragedy of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare, the part of Hamlet was played by Ronald Pickup. Robert Lang played the part of Claudius, and Maxine Audley that of Gertrude. William Squire was Polonius, Angela Pleasance, Ophelia, Martin Jarvis, Horatio, Aubrey Woods, the player King and the first gravedigger, and David Spencer, Laertes. The Ghost was played by Rolf Lefevre. Rosencrantz, Michael Spice. Guildenstern, Leslie Heritage. Osric, John Rye. Fortinbras, Sean Barrett. Rinaldo and a Messenger, Gil Sutherland. The Player Queen and a Sailor, David Valla. Lucianus and the Second Gravedigger, Ronald Herdman. Francisco and the Captain, Nigel Graham. Barnardo and an ambassador, Patrick Towle, and Marcellus, Michael Kilgariff. The musical score was by Malcolm Clark of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The play was produced by John Tideman.